being a young special, you know, as a state for Nisuan, and what the impact of that is. So we're not going to do all of that now, but have it the what? Oh, it's still going around.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get back to the rest of it later on. But since the next topic that you know we have to do in connection with the Hakdama, which is the definition of chuppah, and also a little bit Higiyas Man Velonisu Ochlos Mishalav Ochlos Petruma, comes up in the Gemara. So I don't want to neglect the Mishnah completely. So just take a brief look at the issue of Tainus Besulim in the Mishnah, and we'll complete it later on with Shaktu and Bracha and the other issues connected with the timing question. So you should just look at the Gemara Rashi. The Rashi tells us rather on the Mishnah, Dibra Maskel She'im. Also the Ran and the Meiri on the Mishnah. The Meiri on pages 4 and 5. I assume, I think we still have all the same edition of the Meiri at least. So we change that. So the Meiri pages 4 and 5, the Ran. Also the Meiri on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Page 43, at least again in my Meiri, it's page 43. And the Rajban Shittim Kovetzes, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, page 86, column 1. Again, in the old Shittim Kovetzes. You'll see on the issue of Tainus Besulin. What does that mean, Tainus Besulin? Or why are we concerned about Tainus Besulin in the Mishnah? So I just want to speak about that. I'll do that quickly. As I say, it's connected with the with other topics that come up tomorrow, the question of Shaktu, what is Shaktu, what is the scope of Shaktu, the question of Bracha, other things, why do they pick out a particular wedding day, and what is the significance of that, the why and the what of that. Okay, then, so we'll do that just very briefly, the Mishnah, and then we'll go back to the question of, is there just a, can you have a unilaterally, imposed and suing by time, that's the Giyaz Mamal Nisu, and the definition of Kofan, what is Kofan, which comes up in the Shakavataria as well. So after you finish these Marmakomos, just start reading through a little bit the Shakavataria of the Gemara. Is everything?
There's
another paper coming around? Okay. Good. Nobody's putting their critical information as well. Okay. So that's what we'll be doing. Okay. And as I mentioned, for this week, there's no shir tomorrow, but there'll be a shir Tuesday and Thursday. And Thursday is also before Rosh Hashanah, so we'll have to figure out, we'll definitely do something about it on Rosh Hashanah as well on Thursday. Okay. We were discussing the relationship between Kedushin and Nisuin as reflecting a particular issue. We began by noting that Kedushin is comprised of two elements, Kedushin and Nisuin. Factually, we know that Nisuin adds certain things to Kedushin. It's clear that Kedushin is more clear-cut and obvious and much more dramatic in terms of the changes that it brings about. Eshish and Hisa and so on. Kenyan. Nisuin seems to be a much more subtle institution, but one which definitely does certain things. I mean, unquestionably, the Chenek reflects that, as do some other issues, Yerusha, Tuma, Hafaras, Nedarim, at least some of which are Daraisa, the others it's questionable. Then the question of Ksuba and Sher Ksusiona and Maisei Adayim and Metzia, and we'll get to some of those things as we go on. But the question is, what is the relationship between them? That's what we've been discussing. Are they two halves of the Kinyan? Is one simply the preliminary for the crescendo culmination that is the other? Or is it the opposite? One is just the kind of yawning, anticlimactic, completion or maybe removal of the obstacle of what would have been completed by itself in Kedusha. Can have a full range of views about the relationship between Kedushin and Nisuin. What we've done is we've picked one topic that comes up at the beginning here, and that is the question of Das, just to highlight some of these differences. Are there differences? If there are differences, do they have to do with the stage and the structure alone, or do they really reflect very different functions, very different motifs that may be complementary in the end, because in the complex world of halakha, sometimes things that are contrasting are actually complementary. It's the, it's in the contrast where you get the full integrated picture. I think that is certainly the perspective that you would take in Kiddushin and Nisuin, even if you were to conclude that they were different, radically different, in their nature. I'm not suggesting that there's some dissonance in Ishus. On the contrary, I'm saying that the magnificent structure of Halachic Ishus is built on these two stages accomplishing almost opposite purposes, delaying the physical, intimate, personal side until after you've established the formal, legal, even Oser side. That's clearly my personal slant, that's certainly the view of the Rambam, which I'm trying to project. Maybe not of all Rishonim, but of a lot of other Rishonim as well. Okay, so what we've seen so far is that Tosus has this interesting line here. What about the word Nisais as opposed to Nosin? And Tosus says, well, because you might think that it would be Balkar, which, as we noted already, is always a startling. Whenever you see that, the Havamina, that any kinyan or any relationship would be Balkar, that's always surprising. Then it needs to be analyzed to see, what it reflects about the institutions, the Havamina and the Maskan. So in this case, you also have the parallel of the Gemara in Kedushin Dabbeis, where the Gemara has its Havamina by Kedushin. And the other wrinkle here is that what we really want to know in addition is, could Tosus still have this Havamina even after knowing the Maskana that in Kedushin it can't be Balkalcha? So then there would be a discrepancy between Kedushin and Nisuin with respect to the issue of Balkalcha. That would certainly be intriguing. So then we went back just to analyze briefly what is the status of that Havamina Maskana in Kedushin. And what we've noted so far is that there is truly a Machlokas Rishonim. That the Rajba denies the whole thing. Rajba says, who's never had a meaning that Kiddushin can really be Balkarcha? On the contrary, the Gemara thought that Kiddushin would be routine. But routine can sometimes simulate, it can look like Balkarcha because of the principle of Talui Vizavin, Zvini, Zvini. But if a person agrees, even under pressure, that that constitutes halachically sufficient Ratzon or Das for Kinyanim. So that was the Gemara's Havamina, that works in Kinyanim and that works in Kedushin. On the contrary, the Maskana is what's a bit Mechudash, although the Rajba kind of neutralizes that as well by suggesting that the Maskana is simply Dindrabanan, or at least based on the Gemara in the Masra, Afkin Rabanan the Kedushin Mine, which may have effect on Raisa, but the point is that it doesn't really show any fundamental difference in the Kinyan Kedushin. There are extraneous reasons why the normal din of Kinyanim wouldn't apply here. So essentially, the Rajba wipes out the Havamina and the Maskana. Itself is interesting. On the other hand, you could read the Havamina like the Rajba, and you could come to a very different Maskana. That is, that fundamentally, even if in Kinyanim pressure constitutes a basis for Kinyanim, for Ratzon, when it comes to Kiddushin, use the language of the Rambam, Eina Isha Miskadeshes Ela Ela Mirtzona, and Pergalot Olach Aleph, meaning the requirement of Ratzon and Das in Kiddushin is different, it's elevated more than other Kinyanim. That could be fundamentally true. And as I mentioned, Bildanos HaKalim assumed that the Rambam was also working with the Gemara of Basra and Afkinu. Mandakar Shemeh, the Rambam makes no mention of Afkinu, not here. Generally, the Rambam shies away from Afkinu, as we'll see. So it's my personal belief, at least, that there's a good chance in the Rambam, that the Rambam is reading the Gemara, that the Maskana is that you require more Das than you do in regular Kinyan. On the other hand, you have Rishonim like the Mi'iri, who certainly read the Havamina Kipshuta, and almost couldn't believe it, but based with the evidence in the text, accepted it Kipshuto, that the Gemara really thought Balkarcha, and is Maskana, is that it's like other Kinyanim? Of course not. But again, equal to, less than, but not that much less than, that's not so clear. Then we had the discussion of Rabbeinu, of the Rabbeinu O'Neill. Again, he seems to say the Havamina was that not that you can get away with Balkarcha, but you can get away with a delayed Ratzon. Maskana is you require an immediate Ratzon. Again, how that stacks up with other Kinyanim is something that needs to be investigated further. And then we have the formulations, Rashi in the second paragraph of Kedushin, who equates Das Isha with Das and other Kinyanim. The Rashi Devamos, which quotes the Sefer Gzeiros HaKasuv, to imply that you need a Sefer Gzeiros HaKasuv. You either need it because otherwise that Havamina would be true, and Kedushin requires less, or because The maskana, it's not enough to say that you require the routine level of das for kinyanim and kedushin, you need more. And that would work well, that would dovetail with our suggestion for the Rambam. Either way, that limud is intriguing, unless the limud is to teach you that you're just on a par with regular kinyanim. But again, the fact that you need a limud would either way be significant. Then there's Rashi ala Torah, where Rashi speaks about Rivka and says, Ein mikan, ein masin. Now, masin is a language of nisuin, not a language of kedushin. Then it might imply nisuin requires some sort of ratza. Okay. In any case, there is a group of Rishonim for almost every position, and of course the Ran and the Darim, who apparently clings to the Havamina in the Maskana. Not the Havamina in its radical form of Bal Korcha, that not, but again, he downplays certainly the extent to which the Isha has to agree. Basically, she, as long as she forfeits her objection, that is sufficient, according to the Ran in Darim. That would imply a lower level of kinyanim, perhaps, than is required in other circumstances. It's interesting that the question of level of kinyanim in kedusha, whether it's equal or inferior or requires more, is a debate not only about the dasa isha, she's a machna in this case, but there is also a debate with respect to the baal. Certainly one can be mechalik between them. Again, he's the actor here. He's the person who initiates kiyikach ish isha v'lo kitivakach isha l'ish, and so on. Even if her level of das can be less, one would be shocked if his level of das to initiate such a significant and serious relationship could be less. But again, we find testimony almost on this issue, you know, lekan, lekan or lekan. So, for example, the Avnei Miluim in Siman and Beis, I think I put on the Mar Makomos, notes the fact that there's everybody assigned. Everybody who's going to be here. In? Okay, anybody else? Just put your name, because it's really important to have an operating list. That way, I can begin to associate the names of the people and get to know you all and so on. So really, whoever, you know, knows that they're going to be here, put your name on the list. It's good. You also get called on that way, which is very good. All right, Jeremy? Thank you, yes, just for getting him off on the right Okay. So the Avnei Miluim has an interesting discussion. There's a debate between the Rishon and the Rajba, that same Rajba in Kiddushin, Yonah, discusses an interesting issue, namely
when there is only some ish.
Exactly. Chaluya de kani. If you say kinyan o kinyan, the Gemara in Bava Basra speaks about chaluya de zavin. See, because Yoda put his name on the list several years ago, that's why I could just pick his name out, like that. Anyways, the also he has certain responsibilities for certain sacraments, as I recall, Shavuos, right? So Taluya the Zav and Zini is a discussion of the Gemara. And what about Taluya the Karmi? So this is an issue which is, you know, intriguing in its own right. And what is the relationship generally between Das Kone and Das Makne? Right, who requires more? We discussed this, those of you who were here a couple of years ago, we discussed this in Bat Metzia a little bit, came up. It comes up, you know, again, just looking at it logically, you could make the argument in different ways, right? On the one hand, the machne is the one who's making a greater commitment because he's giving something up. On the other hand, the kone is the initiator of the kinyan, and he's the one generally who will do the maisa kinyan. So, you know, which requires more, the kone or the machne? So in any case, the Bala Itur's view is Taluy v'zavin zvini zvini, but Taluy v'kani ein kinyano kinyan. And the Rajba assumes that that should apply as well to a shotgun marriage, meaning where somebody tries to pressure the Baal into marrying a particular woman, and he does it. So according to the Bala Itur, you should say ein kinyano kinyan. However, Yonah, go ahead. We know that
Rosh Hashanah, it could work. Firstly, the Rambam.
The Rambam in Parag, that same Rambam in Parag Dalet, Hilchos Isha Halach Aleph, writes,
that it would work.
Says that it would work. Says, Isha Ansu Lekadesh. Do we have the Rambam here? We have together a Rambam. We already noted the dual language of the Rambam in the beginning. Haradal Halachalas. Thank you. What was the Rabbi say, by the way? So the Rambam Shita is that if the husband is, or the would-be husband is coerced into the marriage, it works. It works. And there are those who strongly disagree with the Rambam. And they disagree with the Rambam for one of two reasons. Either because of the Bala Yitzhar consideration, that is that Das, you can't force Das Kone, you can force somebody to reluctantly depart with his object if he so agrees to it under pressure. Agavonsa Gomer Makne, but you can't force someone to acquire something, to initiate an acquisition through pressure. That's the view on Bala Yitzhar. So translating that to Kiddushin, you can disagree certainly with the Rambam. You could also disagree for another reason, and that is you might say that the principle of Mafkin Rabbanu Kedusha Minei, which the Gemara applies to the attempt to coerce the Isha, that's the Sugim Bavas or Bavnevkas, that that would apply maybe in the other direction as well. Although it's certainly much less obvious, after all, the husband always has the you know, exit strategy of a get, because that's Vyado to do, and other such things. So there's a whole debate also whether, you know, the principle of who are so shalom kahogen, not so lo shalom kahogen, which is the basis for Afkin Rabban LeKiddushim Minei, when he forces her, would such a parallel apply when he's the one under pressure? So there are several reasons why you could disagree with the Rambam. But this is the Rambam's psak. So the Avnei Miluim, saw it, Yonah, makes an interesting suggestion for the Rambam and the Rambam. Amen?
For the Rambam?
Well, that's in light of the Rambam.
So he said at the end, it specifically worked here by Kedushim because it's not his king. He doesn't have a king in the Gufo of the Isha, so then maybe specifically here, the Das of the Kone, the Ish, might be on a lower level.
Right. In other words, the possibility that when it comes to Choshen Mishpat, we accept the Bala Yitzhar. And when it comes to Evan Ha'ezer, we accept the Rajva. And the reason for that being, apparently, that you cannot equate the Kone in Ishus with the Kone in Kinyanim, but in the direction that is opposite of what many of us would have intuited. Namely, when it comes to Ishus, you can get away with less Das. And the Bali, and the Avnei Miluim explains, you understand it very well, because this is not a Kinyan in the sense of acquiring something, right? It's a different kind of a Kinyan. Now, the fact that it's a different kind of a kinyan, and it's not just acquisition of an object, could be a reason to require less or to require more. In other words, what it highlights is a big issue in Kedushin, right, to say Kikachichon Stei Ephron, and we, you know, parallel the kinyanim of Sada and kinyanim of Isha, but of course, it's understood that Isha is not that kind of a kinyan. Right? It's not a shibud, and it's not a kinyan in the sense of acquisition. It's more in the sense of relationship. Again, it's not time to do this right now, but I think what can be demonstrated, Kone Shabbai Baris, other things, we discussed it in the Kedushin some years ago, that the word Kinyan really means establishing a connection or a relation, legal relationship with something. As it happens in 85 or 90% of cases, that relationship is an acquisition. It's an ownership relationship. And then there are other cases where it's not. It has to do with Maisei Adayim, creation, it has to do with simply having mutual obligations and interactions with another party, like in Kedushin. So that's a big issue in Ishus in general. In Kedushin, what kind of a kinyan is it? So if you take what the Avnei Miluim is accenting is, if you are buying something and owning something, then talui v'kani kinyano eino kinyan. But this is not about buying, it's about entering into a relationship. You don't have to own, and it's not a question of having to. You can't own another person. Ishus, if it were about ownership, would not be, you know, the davar shebekedusha that it really is. So therefore, the rules of kinyanim, kosher mishpat, don't apply here. For the same reason, of course, you could argue the opposite. that's, you know, certainly what's at stake here is much more serious and significant. It's talking about a change in status, the creation of the status of Eishes Ish, with, you know, attendant consequences. We're talking about a relationship of Zavrusha Bikdusha. And on the contrary, the level of Das required is greater for the same reason. And that's really what I'm trying to demonstrate. So there are those who believe that the Isha's Das and Kedushin is inferior and the Baal's Das is inferior. This Avnei Miluim suggestion for the Rambam, is an example of this. And of course, it doesn't surprise us that we have the exact opposite as well. As we already demonstrated, but maybe the Maskana in Kedushin based on basis that Das Makne B'Kedushin is stronger, needs to be stronger, opposite of the Rebbe O'Neill, perhaps Rashi Devamos, probably the Rambam Kargalad Fokus Isha Salach Aleph. And this is reflected in another issue as well, that is the possibility that you may need a Nekiyum for the Das Isha, or the Das Abal, or both. Okay, that's an issue also discussed by the Avnei Miluim and the Piskei Tshuva. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's a huge topic. Even the fact that we say Kedushin, you know, language of Kedushin, Darsar, Kalamak, and Hekdesh is already the beginning of that discussion. And the Gemara has in Dazayin and Kedushin has a discussion about, about Kedushin Lechetzia. And the Gemara says that Pashta, Kedusha, Bekula, and the Rishonim there talk about it, and then certain Lashonos of Kedushin they talk about, and it's Shekin Potiboyk, Deshus, and Maisa Shani. And I think it's a huge topic. It's a very big topic. Now, those, again, you'll find patterns in the Rishonim. There are some who kind of minimize it and say, it's just a linguistic or a very general comparison. And there are those who take it very, very seriously. Absolutely. So the question of Edekiyum, we know that we require Edekiyum, we'll discuss this again more fully in just a minute. We require Edekiyum for the Kedushin. The question is, for every aspect of the Kedushin or not? For the Maisa Kedushin, certainly, has to be witnessed by the Eden. What about other elements that are indispensable, but maybe, more extraneous? Would they also require Edekiyum? Or is it enough that there's Hodas Baldin of both the husband and wife, or some other evidence which doesn't attain the status of Edekiyum? In other words, there's a broader question: to what extent is Edekiyum necessary for every indispensable ingredient in the Yishus, or is it only necessary for the for the main event, let's say? That's one issue. Then, of course, there can be another issue. And that is, assuming that it's theoretically possible that you don't need any kiyum for every aspect of the Ishus and the Kedushin, but just for the real Maisa or Chalosa Ishus. So then the question becomes to try to identify what is extraneous and what is crucial and fundamental. Right? To try to analyze different components, trying to figure out what is which belong in which category. So the Maisa Kedushin clearly is what requires a Nekiyum. But let's say something like Dasa Isha and Dasa Ish. You need a Nekiyum on that as well. So that's a discussion in the Achronim. I think we're showing to discuss it explicitly. But the Avnei Miluim discusses that question. That's the other one I gave you to look at. In Siman, the first one was in Siman Nebeis. This one is in Siman Chav Zayin. And there's a debate between the Avnei Miluim and the Piskei Tshuva, and Avon Ezra on that point. Avnei Miluim seems to say that theoretically you could get away without a Nekiyum for the Das. And the Piskei Tshuva argues. Again, is the Piskei Tshuva arguing because he believes you need a Nekiyum for everything? Or is he arguing because he believes that the Das is a critical component? That's not as clear. Assuming it's the second, if it's the first, then it doesn't belong to our discussion right now. It belongs to the discussion of Edekiyum. But if it's the second, then you have an interesting debate whether or not the Das is just something that we require because it can't be Bankarcha and so on. the more you see Das as playing a critical role, and especially the more you will argue that you need elevated Das more than routine kinyanim, the more likely it is that you're going to require a kiyum for that as well. So it could be that this debate reflects on this issue. More than that, the confluence of discussions of Das and Enikium is suggestive of a whole, you know, different area, you know, to investigate. And that is, let's look at the need for Enikium itself. And then we'll look back again and try to appreciate more fully the significance of the debate about Enikium for the Das. Okay. So what is the background for Enikium? Tommy?
Our tradition requires Enikium in cases which are hava for Enikium.
Yeah. The Gemara there has a discussion. Chamchem, based on tradition, can open up very quickly. And the Kadesh, Vishnei, Echad, when the Choshim, the Kiddushin, and Echad. Person gets married, two people get married, in front of the Eid Echad. And they both agree that they got married. There's no dispute. Question is that sufficient or not? So the Gemara says, Gemara concludes, on the Kaddish Mishneh, Echad ain't Choshim the Kiddushin. You do not need a get. It is certainly not Kiddushin at all. There are different views in the Gemara, but that's the psak of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, why not? Todos Baldin is Kamei. Dami, go ahead, Abi. So the Gemara has this principle of Chav L'Achrini. If something is Chav L'Achrini, if it has detrimental impact on others, so then you require more than Hodas Baldin Kamei. Now you require Eid Ekiyum. Now the term Eid Ekiyum comes actually from the continuation of the Gemara. Go ahead. Gemara speaks about
my sister Ravah that the salad gemed or marbar is there calling the salad b'hagi agadi. Also kind of Rashi, I'm away. I'll teach time eight on Rachmana. You run in the hander and the matzli hagi gemu. But I don't know hagi. Ozoma lo mekayma milsa el b'sahadi.
Lo mekayma milsa el b'sahadi is where the term Eid Ekiyum, well, and also maybe Gemara and Makos being the mekayma davar across in the davar, but especially the Gemara here on Samachim based on conditions. What was the Gemara Safek? The Gemara actually has a case of Choshen Nishpat. Two people were partners. They agreed to split up their partnership. And the question is whether or not now one of them may want to back out of the deal. He admits that he did it, that he agreed that the transaction was done, but it wasn't witnessed by the Edim. So the question is the purpose of Edus to be Babaron, La Ibri Sahabi al Shakri, which is what the Gemara is going to say in a minute, meaning the purpose of witnesses to preclude one party from lying. In this case, if you're dealing with honest people, and they both agreed that a transaction took place, so then the transaction took place. Or no, is Edim the Kiyume Nosa? The Edim are a necessary component of the Kinyan itself. The witnessing presence of the Edim is part of the formal transaction. That's what the Gemara wants to know. So what does the Gemara say? Which means that when it comes to Choshen Nishpat, when it comes to business dealings, when it comes to normal kinyanim, lo ibri sa'adi el l'shakri. The purpose of witnesses is just labir hadavar. That's what we call edibir. But when you put that together with what the Gemara said previously, that in the context of Chavla Achrini, you have a Kaddish Pnei Echad of Ein Choshen the Kiddushin, even if both of them agree. So that's where we get the term Eid Ekiyum. Kiddushin requires Eid Ekiyum. When do you require Eid Ekiyum, and when is it sufficient to have a Nibiru? And what is the significance of this idea of Chav L'Achrini? So the status of Eid Ekiyum, it's a huge topic in its own right. Just touching on it now. Is a very interesting and very important one. And there's a debate in various contexts whether or not there's a requirement of Eid Ekiyum. Kiddushin definitely requires. Gerushin, most people assume require, although it's a little more complicated than that. Those of you who were in Gittin a number of years ago will recall, and we discussed the Sugya Yivamasaf, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and Rajba. They are in the Rajba, also in Samachemet Beis, they're in Kiddushin. Is Gittin Chavlachwini or not? Tosfos in Gittin Dabdala Manalev discusses this problem. Do you really require any kiyum for a get? Of course, a get is complicated by the fact that every get is done through shtar. That's what a get is. And the shtar requires edus, in chasima, in sira. There's also an institution of ksav yado. That's where it gets complicated. Most people assume that a get requires any kiyum. There are a few Rishonim who seem to think that in principle it might not. The issue about yibum and chalitza is especially complicated. With respect to chalitza, specifically, there's a debate between the Rishonim, the Nebuke Yosef, and the Rambam. The Yosef requires a kiyum for chalitza, and the Rambam appears not to require that. And Rav Chaim has a whole discussion in Peridalon Hilchasiv of Chalitza about that Rambam, and he tries to figure out why is it that for certain kinyanim you require, certain kinyanim ishus you require edikiyum, and for others you do not. What is the pattern? What is the criterion? When do you require edikiyum? When don't you require edikiyum? So Rav Chaim basically comes up, Jeremy, with, did you get a chance yet? David? You want to expand on that a little bit? As opposed to?
Come on.
Okay, so we're saying it's accurate, just, you're assuming that everybody knows what you mean. So what is the difference between Das and Kavana? Rav Chaim basically says that there are two types of actions, two types of halachic actions, which in turn require two types of das or kavana approaches. There are actions where essentially the physical activity is what defines the action. And the only thing is that you have to agree to the, you know, to the transaction. You have to acknowledge, you have to give your assent, you have to sign on to it, essentially. That he calls, let's say, kavana, or ratzon. Again, the terminology here is really unimportant. And it's pretty much arbitrary which term you're going to use for which. Well, we use the ones that Rav Chaim uses, basically, but it's, one shouldn't be misled by the language of the Gemara or Rishon in different places. Just on this issue, terms like Ratzon and Kavana and Das are often used interchangeably. So for sake of convenience, we're going to use this distinction between Das, let's say, and Kavana or Ratzon. But don't be thrown by it. Zvi just mentioned the other day. He mentioned the other day, that the Rambam says, he pointed out to me, I kept saying, Eino Isha Miskadesh Eselam Yidaita, and he said, that's not the language in Rambam, but Eino Isha Miskadesh Eselam Yidaita. So, he was focusing exactly on this issue, so that's, it's a good ha'ara. But, I don't think that this distinction depends on the terminology. Unless you can pin it down. See, in other words, our Rishon always uses one term or the other. But the point is that there are essentially physical actions or transactions which require agreement or assent. And that's how Rav Chaim basically understands the Rambam's view of Chalitza. The action itself is poter from Zika. Again, why that should be true is a different matter for now. It's not our topic, but essentially, you don't have to create some new reality or new status through chalitza. You just have to remove the zika. And as such, even though the Gemara does say that there's a requirement of das and chalitza, Gemara Nevamah Misaf Kuvav says clearly that chalitza requires das. However, the fact also is that there's a debate whether Ketana is choletzes, and a Ketana doesn't have many forms, and certainly the higher form of Das is lacking in the Ketana. She's not a Bas das, and the Gemara Nivamos Kufayim with base discusses whether Ketan Mecholatz is or not. The Gemara Nivamos tells us, this is the Rambam of this Reb Chaim's discussion, that Cheresh and Chareshes, right, would be subject to Chalitza, not for the fact that they're Einam Bnei Kriya. Which means that from a Das point of view, you could have Chalitza for Cheresh and Chareshes, even though they're generally not considered to be Bas Nas. And Bali Tosis explained, also in Yuhamas, this is Chalitza, Bakuv Dalet, that Godol Omed Al Gabav will work in the context of Chalitza. So the question is, how come Godol Omed Al Gabav doesn't work in the context of Kiddushin? Right? Or Gerushin? Doesn't work for Ketana. In the case of Avia, that's something else, because the father then is the party to it, but why is Godol Omed Al Gabav effective in Chalitza and it's not effective in Kiddushin? Right, so Reb Chaim's approach to all of these problems is to underscore this difference. Say that Chalitza is basically the removal of an ikur. It's a way of being matir the isha, to remove the zika. But there's no new creation here. On the contrary, it's the removal of some obstacle that keeps her in limbo. And as such, the physical act of chalitza, as long as it's done midas, it should be misasek, and it requires some sort of assent. But when you have that, that's fine. And for that reason, Reb Chaim says, there's no requirement of any kiyum either, because the presence of any kiyum is not necessary in what is fundamentally a physical transaction. As long as the people, the parties, agree that it took place, that is sufficient. However, when it comes to kiddushin, kiddushin is about creating a new status, as David said, a new chalos. And this requirement of bailus to create, the people who create ishus essentially transcend the physical actions that they're involved in. Right? The halacha says that a husband can create the status of eishes ish through the act of kiddushin. That's a transcendent act. And for that transcendent act, for the physical act of Maisa Kedushin, to create the transcendent status of Shein Eishes Ish, with all that it implies, for that you require the solemnizing presence of Edekiyu. In other words, wherever there is a requirement, not merely of Kavanah V'Ratzon, agreement to what is physically happening, but Das, to give Tochen, to give content, and give greater transcendent significance, in other words, to what is happening, you need witnesses there as part of that creation. That's what Chaim's feeling. That's why, he explains, if you look in the Gemara and Ksuvos on Daf Tes, it's perfectly clear that Zmus, for example, does not require any kiyum. You have to determine whether it happened. It may require a level of Eidos, but it doesn't require any kiyum, because it's the physical act of zus, of betrayal, that is the oser and the mechayiv, and that's responsible for the onesh. Everything else is just about proving it. So it might be a davar shebe'erva, but it doesn't require a kiyum. It just requires a debira. However, when it comes to kiddushin and perhaps gerushin, we'll get to nisuin in just one more minute. There, a kiyum are not necessary. So the point is, now if you look back, we just discussed a second ago, just one more minute, we just discussed a minute ago whether a kiyum is necessary, are necessary, whether the institution of a kiyum is necessary for das in kiddushin. The debate among the achronim, the Avnei Miluim and the Piskei Tshuva. So of course, in light of Reb Chaim's analysis, this takes on greater significance. We're really asking whether or not the level of das and kiddushin itself is a function of the transcendent, unique character of that institution. And on the contrary, the whole idea of Reb Chaim is that there's always a correlation between the level of das required and the type of action requiring edikium that you're involved with. Chaim's view is, whenever there's edikium, there's more than Ratzon and Kavanah, there's Das. So that you should need the Eidekiyum for the Das is very sensible. Not mukhrach, mind you. It doesn't have to be so, but it's certainly very sensible. Okay. Now, having said this, Yonah had a question. Go ahead.
In the cases where we don't need Eidikim, so Rebbe keeps on saying that according to our time, there is no such transcendental halos, and there isn't something to be created like that. Or so specifically the case of Halitza or Znus, couldn't it also be, and I thought perhaps Rebbe Chaim was saying this, that in Yochanan there is such a halos, the Hafgaz, Zidan, Heter, Hashuk, are a halos. However, just the question is, in a Torah, how is that halos being created? Is the person and the das of the Hoel doing it, the Cholets and Choletas? Or is it like these other scenarios, like for the Rambam and Halitza, where it's automatic from the action? That doesn't have to be saying that there is no such transcendent halos. It could just be that it's not brought about by
maybe
associated through the action, but it's not your das that's creating it.
I my reading of Reb Chaim is that where that Reb Chaim seems to assume that wherever a physical action is sufficient, then what it is that is being created is also that the level of what is being created is reflected as well. That's how I understand. And the fact that you could create this result merely with a physical action is itself reflective of the fact that, you know, the transformation is not as... I'm not talking about the practical consequences of the transformation. I'm talking about the conceptual content of the transformation is not as real. And that's how I wouldn't discount what you're saying. What you're saying makes sense. You're saying it's not the level of transformation or nature of transformation which counts. It's the way that it's brought about. Is it brought about by a physical action? Or is it brought about by bilus or some transcendent... I'm arguing that the need for bilus and some sort of transcendent beyond the physical action is itself indicative of what it is that is... I think that's what he means, but no question that you can make the distinction that you're making as well. Again, I think part of the, you know, what perhaps the Nafka Mina would be, I'm trying to explain, I'm trying to explain where you need Das and Rasson, as well as what its connection is to any key. The truth is that you can really handle, relate to those questions as two different questions. And that might be something that you would want to do if you'd want to take that position. Okay. Again, I've said this before, but there can also be a situation where what you're creating is not so transcendent, but the way that you're creating it is transcendent. And that's, you know, where you use Das to create a regular kinyan. That could be the issue of kinyan sudar, and it's required to be a kinyan according to the right, but that's... Yeah. Somebody had a question? Yeah.
And we determine what the status of the physical action is by seeing what the change of status is created by the mind, so how do you really compare the...
I'm not saying that the factual change that takes place. I'm talking about... sometimes we can only reconstruct this. We can't predict it. Because it's not what are the consequences of the change, meaning what was the status, something we knew factually, what was the status before, and we now factually what is the status after. What I'm more interested in is conceptually what has taken place.
Conceptually, why is what has taken place after the
first well, that's, I mean, that has to do with a lot with the nature of Khalifa. What, I mean, you just have to examine the nature of the bond between the, you know, between the Yavama and the Yavam, and compare it to the nature of the bond between, you know, Ish and Ishva. Clearly, it's a different, even reflected in the Chiv Nisa and the other things, it's a different level. There's a debate about what that bond is, but certainly that you could be Michalik between the need for a get and the transformation that takes, you know, that takes place with that. And the need for Chalitza and Yibam is clear.
I thought that we were focusing on the destructive nature of the Nasa and Chalitza, which that doesn't differ than what happens by Yerushim.
What do you mean?
And I mean, the reason why we think that Chalitza is just a physical action is because all that occurs in the removal of the Zika. I mean, why can you apply that?
I'm saying that to translate that into this question, the removal or the neutralizing of the Zika is not comparable to the removal or the neutralizing of the Ishus. Because the Ishus is a, you know, is this dramatic creation, shame, Ishus relationship between the parties, where in the case of Chalitza, you're talking about the, you know, the brother of the husband who is bound to her. Again, according to some Rishonim, very bound to her, and according to the understanding of other Gemaras and Rishonim, you know, barely bound to her by the obligation, you know, Hakim Shein Achiv, you know, and to do Yibum. So they're very different.
So in the end, it's not really, you can't really determine what's going on, just whether it's.
Well, I think if you can reconstruct, I don't know whether you can anticipate. Although, I don't think the reconstruction is totally arbitrary. Meaning, if you ask me, and what about, because I didn't have any information. Listen, the fact is that the Mugi Yosef argues with the Rambam about Chalitza. So you could say that their argument is about the nature of Chalitza. I mean, to what extent is Chalitza really also creating a new Chalos, or removing an Ishus, and really it's a debate about either Chalitza or Zika, or it could be that, or it could be a debate about Edekim. When do you really need them? What I'm saying is, when I say that, you know, you can't always anticipate, you can reconstruct, it doesn't mean it's arbitrary, meaning, just to take the example of your question just now, if you compare Zika and Chalitza to Ishus and Gerushin, it's clear that there are very, very fundamental differences, and they're reflected in the Odshim and in all sorts of other demons. On the other hand, there's still a Zika, there's still a serious bond here, there's still a change that takes place. So if I didn't have any information and somebody said to me, what do you think, what's going to be, Edei Kiyum for Chalitza, yes or no? I might have guessed wrong, you know, because I was either overstating, you know, the Zika, or you know, didn't draw the line at the right place for where you cut off Edei Kiyum. That doesn't mean it's arbitrary. Now that I know, I can understand it. Now,
yeah. The Rosh Chaim, is the function of Edei Kiyum to report about the das or to prophesy the das?
Okay, and this I think that people say this in different ways. My view, you know, is that it's not that the Edei Kiyum contributes to the level of das, but they were. It's the requirement for das and the requirement for Edei Kiyum flow from the common denominator about the nature of this action, which, you know, I think is what you're asking. There are other people who say differently, and I recall hearing some years ago that Rav Schachter once gave a kabur on the call when I was in the call about Edei Kiyum, and I recall him formulating it the other way. And you get Edei Kiyum there, so people are more serious. Edei Kiyum directly contributes to the level of das. I personally don't understand. That's not the way I understand Rav Chaim. I think Rav Chaim is saying more that there's a common denominator, namely the way you look at this whole transaction and status, which is responsible A, for a higher level of das, B, for the need for a solemnizing presence to generate that kind of an action.
But according to Abigail's formulation, you wouldn't necessarily against the
right, absolutely. That's why I said before, it's not mukhra. I said it's an interesting confluence, because point of kind, there's a link between the need for Edei Kiyum in a particular event and das in a particular event. And here we're asking the question whether or not you need Edei Kiyum for the das of that event. The reason that I added, however, it's not mukhra, is exactly for this reason, because I don't think that the Edei Kiyum are the ones who generate the das. I think that both the need for das and the need for Edei Kiyum flow from, you know, a more basic idea, in which case it would theoretically be possible to say, still the Edei Kiyum is on the Maisa, not on the das. Okay, absolutely. Yeah.
Isn't there an asymmetry between those two formulations? The professor's formulation seems to imply, I guess, that you didn't realize that Edei was hustle at the time that.
Well, you still require, I think it's still a hard and firm requirement that there be an Edei Kiyum. You could say that's a kind of a low I don't, again, I, you know, I don't know, I don't think it's meant in the most practical way, but I understand what you're saying. You're saying, let's say, there, you know, the parties felt that there was Edei, and it turns out that they weren't. So they were serious because of the, you know, their misinformation. No one would go so far and to say such a thing. But that could just be because, you know, it's kind of a low plug. In order for this to work, you have to have kosher eidim. And if you don't have kosher eidim, even though you have the das, but, you know, you don't have the guarantee that you will in all these kinds of transactions. So I don't think it will be a tangible enough to me, just because it's inconceivable that anybody requiring eidikim will ever allow, you know, such a, you know, such a thing. But I'll give you another example. The question is, do the, very similar to what we're talking about here, the das question, we're talking about, do the, is there a necessity that there be eidikim of the shas das? If you take the view that the eidikim themselves, their presence, contributes to, I think the answer would be yes. And I would say something else as well. There's a famous ritva, I'll just mention it briefly. The ritva in the second parak of Kiddushin, which I always use anyway to highlight Rav Chaim's idea of eidikim. There's a debate among, clearly a debate among the Rishonim and then the Achronim, where the eidikim are qualitatively different, and really fundamentally different, in other words, than eidim biro or not. But there's another perspective. The other perspective, without going into too much detail, is informed by the, is that my, the rest of my list? It's informed by the Gemara that, you know, says davar davar bi mamon, right? Eide mamon and eide ishus, you know, may flow from the same source. And this is, of course, a problem that that troubled the Rajba in Kiddushin Samachay with Beis, and you know, was made famous by the Ksos and Avon Biluim, which is also written by the Ksos in a number of places. For that reason, there are many who suggest that Eide Kiyum is nothing more than a requirement of Eide Biruv. In other words, when the stakes are so high, it's Chav L'Achrini, so you can't leave it to chance, you can't leave it to honesty. And we won't leave it to honesty, even if the people are being honest. We build in the requirement of, you know, guaranteed agents, eidei biruv. That's their perspective. Or no, is eidei kiyum the kiyum eidosola, what we're trying to explain. Namely, it's the presence of the eidim is a formal requirement in defining the transaction. So the, you know, one of the most important issues is the issue that is two issues raised by the Ritva. One is how you define an eid. Machlokas Rishonim, and then he so gives how you define an eid, Mishas Re'iyah or Mishas Hagada Bebezin. This Rishonim in Makos, the end of the first parak, in Basra, of Kofidalin, the Sugya of Eidei Nasa Dayan, and the Sugya of Shema from Tosin Paplakula, and the Sugya of Tchilas of Itself. And the Kashrus, there's a number of issues where the timing, when you become an eid, are crucial. So there are Rishonim, like Rashi and the Rajbam, who say that Shas Re'iya, an eid is an eid by virtue of the fact that he witnessed the event. And then there are the Balei Tosfos, and most of the Chachmei Sfarad, who say it's not true, that an eid is an eid, Yishas Hagada Bebezin. Once he comes to Bezin and testifies. Before that, he doesn't have a Shein eid. Prince of Shabbat and Tosso would apply, and so on. The Ritva strikes a compromise. This is the famous Ritva. Ritva, on the beginning of the second part of Kiddushin, says, Sugat Ein Shliach Nasei, we've already talked about there. So the Ritva says that when it comes to Eidei Biruv, it depends on Shas Hagada, the Balei Tosfos are right. And when it comes to Eidei Kiyum, then it depends on Shas Re'iyah. And he formulates it in a very clear way along these lines. He says, basically, because when it comes to Eidei Kiyum, it's not, you know, their Hagada Bebezin that is crucial. It's their presence. And therefore, it's what they witness. And therefore, he says, and this is the reason why we're makbid at weddings, that there should be yichud ha'edim. He says, even though I generally paskin like the Balei Tosfos, I think you have to be miyached edim in a wedding, because since in the context of a wedding, we're talking about eidei kiyum, so whoever is present is an eid, unless you exclude them and, you know, define exactly who your eidim are. That's why you have to say aten eidah, you have to designate. That's the Ritva's idea. And then he goes on to say, that he says, and for that reason as well, if the eidim are hiding, machori hageder, and it's not known to the Balei Dvarim, this is where I'm answering your question, it's not known to the Balei Dvarim that they're there, That's not any kiyum either, because since it's their presence which contributes to the definition of the maisa, therefore it's their presence has to be known. Now in theory, you could have argued. You could say, well, it's their presence, but it doesn't mean it has to be known. But certainly we can understand once we take this perspective of the Ritva, goes through what Rav Chaim is saying, namely that any kiyum represents a presence, a solemnizing presence that lends stature and status that's part of the definition of what it is that's taking place, so then their presence has to be known. Again, if their presence is known, so undoubtedly that will also contribute to the seriousness, and the Arishonim who disagree with the Ritva but still require the presence of the Eidim to be known, just because they say, well, otherwise they could say Meshata Nibach, I wasn't serious, they attack it from a, purely from a a seriousness perspective. But clearly the Ritva is saying more than that. He's saying that their presence is part of what it is that's happening here, and therefore the presence has to be known to the Bali Dvarim. Nothing to do with seriousness. It has to do simply with defining the action in a certain way. In any case, having said all of this, what about Nisuin? Okay, so Yibum is a discussion, Chalitza is a discussion, Zuz certainly doesn't require Kedushin, most people think do. Here and there might be a disagreement. Kedushin, everybody requires in a kiyum. Of course, there's also debates about some other aspects. I mentioned components. What about a Tanai? Let's say you impose a Tanai, and you want to be Mabakal of a Tanai. Do you need a kiyum for that? So that's a debate between the Rambam and the Raivid. Minui Edim. Minu Shliach, I'm sorry. Does that require the presence of witnesses in the kiyum? That's a debate between the Rambam and the Raivid, or Gimel and Chasishas. In other words, different components or additional aspects, even the ones that are not indispensable, but that just happen to be part and parcel of this particular kiddushin. They do require in the kiyum, but they don't. Again, I don't want to get too far afield. But that's also a debate. In any case, what about Nisuin? Is there a requirement of Eidei Kiyum? Because now, certainly according to the Ritva, according to Rav Chaim, Eidei Kiyum is turns out to be a reflection of Das, but more than that, a reflection about the transcendence of what it is that's being created. So whether you need it or not for Nisuin is going to be crucial in establishing the relationship between Kedushim and Nisuin. But yeah, so what evidence do we have?
It tells us we're talking execution of your base says that you need any chutzpah.
Yeah. He does say that, and as far as I know, that's the only Rishon who addresses the problem directly. Directly, I said. Who else maybe addresses the problem by silence?
Well, the Rambam.
Yeah. The Rambam and Perek Yud. In all of Perek Yud and in all of the discussions the Rambam about the Sukkah, if you don't mind, you have it. The Rambam strikingly omits any mention of Eidim.
He says,
So there's absolutely no mention at all of Eidei Kiyum in the context of this. On the other hand, the Rambam, liberally mentions Eidei Kiyum in Kiddushin right from the very, very, very beginning. Right? Perek Aleph, go ahead, that's one of the contributions of Matan Torah. That's Perek Aleph Halacha. Can't say much earlier than that, right? In Sefer Nashim. And then again, he repeats it several times, right? In where? In Perek Gimel, right? By Kesef, he has it.
Also by Bia.
By Bia. Yeah,
by
Bier, yeah.
So
give a lot of fucking
right. Kids, they should be connected. Even Kasa, who in the Kaddish, in Pakos, me put the Kasa, which are put the Omer, Ari, and the Kiddish, Ari, and the Red Sea, Ari, and the Sad, and you can not be seen in Eden.
So again, he repeats it. And then go ahead, be as well.
He says, in Kiddush, to give Omer La Rea Mikidesh, the Oharea Nurezis, the Oharea.
And what about Star?
Star.
What was Bia? That was Hay?
That was about the Hay, right?
Gimel.
In Kiddush, Star, Kosi, Valnir, Oal, Peres, Valala, Oal, Kod, Avers, Yirza, Ariam, Kiddushli, Oren, Rezisli, the Fokios, the Varmay, Vinos, and Oz, with Nay.
Here, of course, it's a bit of a problem. And that is that he talks only about Eidim Tesir. But in any case, he has also created that, certainly good Eidim Tesir. The issue with the Rambam is, why does the Rambam not also mention that you could have Kiddush Eshtar, the Eidim Chasima, which would be consistent with his view in Ilchus Geirushin, that B'dieved you could have the Get Eidim Chasima. So that's the Nosa Kalim speak of already. Some years ago, we discussed that problem at length. I think there could be different theories about it, but either way, the important thing is for our purposes now that when it comes to the three Darkei Kiddushin, as well as the first halakha generally about Kiddushin, the Rambam is not shy about mentioning and reiterating the need for Eidikim. In the context of Nisuin, the omission is certainly striking. I don't know if it's deafening, but it's striking. He doesn't mention it in Perek Yud Halach Aleph where we would expect it. He doesn't mention it subsequently. There's no evidence that the Rambam requires Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin. So who discusses the topic at length? And Yom Yisrael? There's this huge Amar Sameach. Didn't get there yet? So basically, I mean, you know, it's always worth, you know, looking at an Amar Sameach. But, you know, I'll save you some time for a moment. But who saw the Amar Sameach? No one saw the Arsene? Neary didn't see the Arsene. I saw it 5 years ago. No one saw the Arsene? It was on the list, wasn't it? They don't have Arsene?
They
have
Arsene.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Just don't let that out. The laughing stock of the yeshiva world. They can't get an Or Sameach in the Hawaii West Manish. Alright, anyways, they don't have it in the back of like the, there was some of the Rambam, at least the Rambam that he said would be there. Right?
The big Rambam's
there. Yeah. Anyways, it's a huge piece of the Or Sameach. Basically, the thrust of it, Barry, you didn't see me? The thrust of it is that the Or Sameach is mistopic whether or not there's a need for Eidei Kiyum in the Nisuin. And he says, well, it's really a very simple issue. Then he goes on for pages trying to figure it out. The simple issue is, I mean, the issue is simple, just figuring out is not. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Samachem and Beis that the reason they require Eidei Kiyum for Kiddushin is because it's called Vlachrini. So he says, all we really have to figure out is whether or not, if you already have Kiddushin, but you have yet to have become a Nesua, is there any additional Chav L'Achrini? What Chav L'Achrini is there if you're already Mekudeshes, but you're not Nesua? And then he goes on for a few pages to try to figure that out. Is there or isn't there? Is there any additional adverse consequence for anyone? That's the Or Sameach's. It's again, it's a very simple approach, a very logical approach, and then just, you know, goes for several pages to try to figure out, are there or are there not any negative consequences. The Rav used to say in the name of Rav Chaim that Rav Chaim was of the opinion that there really is no requirement of Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin. Now don't confuse what I'm saying. When he was Masada Kiddushin at weddings, apparently, he required Eidei Kiyum from the Nisuin. But the way the Rav said it was, his heart wasn't really in it. Meaning, he didn't really think he required it, but he said, you know, since the Olam is knowing that way, you know, Halakha L'maisa, what?
Extra kibbutz.
It's an extra kibbutz. And as you know, that can sometimes be a very good thing to have. You know, Shalom al Yisrael. So the, well, what was this all about? But the way it was reported was, it's not that Reb Chaim was looking for. Reb Chaim's approach, I think, was different than the Or Sameach's. I mean, he didn't try to figure out whether it was Chav L'Achrini. He just said, Ah, it depends on the nature of Nisuin. Is Nisuin like Chalitza? Of course, in keeping with his, you know, printed remarks in Yom Chalitza. Is Nisuin like Chalitza, or is Nisuin like Kiddushin? That's the question. In other words, do we view Nisuin as Yitzhiras HaChalos, a new Kenyan, a new step? Right, she's already an Asian Sish, but now she's becoming a Nisuin. Chenek, you know? Yerusha Tuva V'Hafaras Nedarim, right? Nitzia, Maisia Deha, and Ksuva. Right? You have to say that. You have to muster some enthusiasm for that, right? In other words, wow, this is a new, completely different stage and, you know, a different status entirely. Is that the way we look at Nisua? Meaning it's like Kedushin. It's a second stage, but it's a second stage very much in keeping with, you know, very much parallel to the kind of first stage that it was. If that's true, then you should require any key. And if it's not true, meaning it's, well, you know, all there is a little bit of chenek and the sherksus viona and tuma yerusha naparas nedarim that, you know, probably would have, is really a, you know, result of the kedushin that's artificially being kept back until the moment of the suing. You know, it's the completion of stage one. It's an anticlimax or an ikub. If that's really what it is, then it's a lot like chalitza. Again, as we pointed out, meaning in the case of chalitza, there are changes, very significant changes. In one respect, it looks like the changes in chalitza are more significant than the changes in the suin. Right? She's muteris l'shuk. It's not the issue. The issue is conceptually, how does it work? You know, why do these changes come about now, and so on? So is the suin just a physical action, whatever it is, or a symbolic action that completes the issues, that allows the kedushin to be completed, and so on? Or no? Exactly the question that we're interested in. So of course, if there's a difference between das and kavana, there might also be a difference between the need for edikim and a lack of a need for edikim. So again, I'm just saying, you know, targdalar halach aleph ena isha miskadesh esel nurtzona, as we discussed, and parak yud, there's no word about ratzon ha'isha at all. And also, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Perek Gimel, Halacha Aleph, and Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, and Perek Gimel, Halacha He, right? Eide Kiyum, and Perek Yud, no Eide Kiyum. So surely the omission, of course, in Perek Yud was noticed by Rav Chaim. And, you know, in keeping with, you know, his analysis, basically, again, he required it for weddings, but he basically, you know, his intuition was against the Tosfos Reeve. I don't know if he was aware of the Tosfos Reeve Zaken, that I'm not sure of. But that's a very crucial issue. Of course, if this is true, then one should be able to extend it, perhaps, to other issues as well. So let's get back to other issues of Das and Ratzon and so on, and see how they fail.
Right.
Yeah.
In justifying the Tzad, say that Nisum was requiring the Kiyum.
Right.
So maybe not to the Rambam per se, but in addition to that part of the Garam, the Tumma and Yerusha, I thought the Shittos that already quoted the other day about making sort of bulking up the Isser Halos to Arusa would be a good way to justify
maybe
the suing is a real halos.
Unless, again, you say it's an artificial equal. In other words, really,
a real Isser, though.
Even if it's a real Isser, but it can still be a real Isser that all you need to do is remove the obstacle for. In other words, even if I say the also one of us are Russos is Daraisa, okay, and the Yisuin is the Matir, but I still not explain that, you know, the ingredients for a Heter are already there in the Kedushin. I said the Torah, that's part of the Kiddush Shabbat, the Torah was to dafka break it up into two, to be the vaseis, the, you know, the kinyan and the responsibility and the Isser and all of that, first to enhance the matzah that will come after. But if it's an enhancement, then even though it isn't, again, what you're saying is the more that there are Doraisa differences, you're saying, the more likely it is that Nisua is...
Especially
the area of Hetzer. Yeah, I understand. And I basically would agree. Structurally, I would agree. In other words, the more differences there are and the more serious they are and the more they are differences in the personal relationship, I mean, like
not a Kenyan difference,
then the more you would be likely to think that, you know, it would be a serious transformation. So, I think it's possible. But I'm also suggesting that he probably is. Meaning, if the point is that really, Kodim Matan Torah, again, that's there in the Rambam to establish that, the Ishus, the Kiddushim, should really do this. It's an artificial ikub, a critical artificial. When I say something is an artificial ikub, I don't mean that it's trivial. On the contrary. If it's artificial and it's there, then you really need to explain why it's there. And I think it has to do with the Kiddushah of Kiddusha, in a sense, and of Ishus. Meaning, this separating, this not jumping right into your Hetzer Isha Lavala, but having an interim status which focuses on the Kinyanim and so on, is meant to enhance the Hetzer that will follow. That means that the fact that the ingredients are already there and it's being held back, right, makes it more, not less, significant. But still, the Nisuan is really just the removal of those obstacles. In which case, even if it's the Raisa, the removal of those obstacles, I would still be able to argue that it's the Maisa, it's the Nimela, the Chalos things, everything is really latent there in potentia already by the time of the Kedusha. So, structurally, what you're saying is sensible. I personally don't think that, you know, it has to be Rabbi Atalia at all. And this perspective of seeing the Iku Doraisa, I personally like the idea. I mean, I think it came across the other day probably, but I'm not hiding it. But the Iser Arusa Minatora, and, you know, the sharp contrast in that sense, I like it very much. I think it's not the view of most Rishonim, I might add. Although I would say that the fact that there is such a Misa Drabana may also reflect Doraisa of the nature of Kiddushin and Nisuin and the contributions, just that there's no Iser Minat Torah, but certainly, even if it just because of Iser doesn't mean that the design isn't that the real Chaye HaIshos begin at Nisuin. I think that's true, even if it's only with the Divrei Sofer. And I think maybe that's what the Divrei Sofer means in that context, but I'll explain more what I mean later on. But I still think that that's perfectly consistent with the view, even if it is Doraisa, that this is... not doesn't require a kiyum. It's a different kind of an action environment. It's not a separate matir creating the heter that didn't exist at all on any level based on the kedusha. I think it's actually more powerful the other way. Okay. Well, let me just have one other comment quickly about Rav Chaim and the Or Sameach. Now, the Or Sameach, what the Or Sameach did, as I said, was, you know, perfectly logical in every sense. The Gemara says that the reason that Mekadesh Shnei Nachrit Ein Choshen HaKedusha is because of Chav L'Achrin. So what the Or Sameach did, which is to figure out whether there is Chav L'Achrin in the context of Nisuin, is just, you know, an extension of reading the Gemara. So what about Reb Chaim? Why did Reb Chaim have to undergo this analysis and figure out whether there is or isn't Chav L'Achrin in Nisuin? So, again, I don't know for a fact that he didn't, but I was talking about the reports that I'm working with. I suspect that Reb Chaim had just a different understanding of what Chav L'Achrin actually contributes to the whole discussion. Let me highlight it just for one second by noting the discussion to the Rashi and the Rajba in the Kedushin Samachan base there. When the Gemara says that Kedushin is Chav L'Achrin and therefore requires Edekiyum, so Rashi says that after all, you know, there are consequences to the relatives of Chasam and the Kala. Right? They become enmeshed in a whole series of, you know, prohibited relationships, various relationships as a result. So the Rajba asks the question, and he says, really? So what will you say about a Ger and Naso Gioris? Do they not need any Kiyu? Says the Rajwa, after all, there are no relatives. Gershon is Gaia Kukat and Shinolad. So there are only these two people in the world. They're the only people who are affected by their Ishus. If it's about family relations, says the Rashba, a ger should also gioras should not require a kiyum. And of course, that's inconceivable. Lo matzinu davar kazeh be'olam. It's just not not possible. Therefore, the Rashba says it must be a reference not to relatives, but to the status of Eish Ish. Once she's an Eish Ish, and somebody else is involved with her, so he's going to suffer the consequences as well, and so on. What would Rashi answer to the Rashba's question? So, I think it's likely that Rashi would say, I don't mean to say that, you know, there's a direct correlation here, meaning the effects of the people, and therefore it's not Chav L'Achrini, therefore it's Chav L'Achrini, not Hodos Bal Dinim Kimenim Dami, that it's not Bali Dinim, because other people are affected, there are other people. Because the way Rashba reads Rashi, it's based on the idea that, you know, we can believe the two of you about your own, you know, issues, but this affects other people, therefore doesn't fall into this category. See, what Rashi is trying to say, perhaps, is not that. What Rashi is trying to say is the fact that other people are affected by this relationship is symptomatic of the transcendent change that has taken place here. This is not just a physical action that results in, you know, heter, between this man and this woman in a casual sense. This is a transaction which is also constitutes a transformation and a change in status. The haraya, it affects people, you know, who were not involved in the decision. Now, if in a particular case, like Gerish and also Gioras, it doesn't happen to be a family consequences, that's irrelevant. It's the same issues. Rashi is simply trying to put his finger on the transcendent character of this change in status. Have this interpersonal decision between the two of us. If I sell you my field or my cow, so that's between the two of us. Okay, but if you marry me, right, it affects the world because now she's an Eish HaSish and so on. So I think it's very possible that Rav Chaim understood Chav L'Achrini in that way too. How does Chav L'Achrini fit in to what Rav Chaim says? I've never seen anybody say this. I'm speculating. How does Chav L'Achrini fit into Perek Dalet Hilchos Yibum L'Chalitza analysis of Rav Chaim? Why doesn't he have to talk about Chav L'Achrini? I think that's what Chav L'Achrini means according to Rav Chaim. So when the question arises, what about Nisuin? Rav Chaim also has to look to, well, is there a Chav L'Achrini? But not tangibly and concretely, as the Arsanech is doing kind of what the Rashba did when he read Rashi. He's trying to say, well, Lamaisa, are there other people affected by this decision? If so, there's a need for any kiyum because Hadas Halvin Kanein Dami doesn't apply. And if not, then there's no need for any kiyum. And Rav Chaim was saying, yeah, by all means, let's look at Chav L'Achrini. Let's look conceptually at what it is that takes place once you're already in Eish HaSish and now you're, you know, contemplating becoming a Nesua. Is that in the halachic category of Chav L'Achrini or not? And if there are no actual consequences, you know, so be it. And if there are actual consequences, but they're technical, they don't reflect on the nature of the transaction of the institution, maybe that wouldn't bother us either. Because the issue isn't whether Hodas Baldin applies here. The issue is the nature of the institution. So that's a suggestion. Now this question, particularly for the Rambam, is reflected in several other issues as well. So the Or Sameach, that same Or Sameach, I'm sorry, look at it, you really should look at it. Look at it quickly. You get a lot of the pieces and, you know, going looking for this evidence of Chav L'Achrini, but the basic approach should be looked at. So he also discusses two other issues. Is there Shlichus b'nisuin, and is there Tnai b'nisuin? Now the issue of Shlichus is a tricky question, and that for two reasons. In addition to, you know, the more general question, you know, which institutions allow for Shlichus, and where do you need a personal, you know, input and so on, there's a there's a definitional aspect to this question in Masuri. But you can't escape, when you discuss this question, can't escape discussing the issue, what is Masuri? Because according to certain definitions of Nisuin, you're just not going to be able to intelligently, you know, continue the discussion. In other words, if Chuppah Hainu Yichud, which is Shita Sarambah, we'll analyze it. Chuppah Hainu Yichud. So of course you can't talk about Slichus. Because technically you can't talk about it, it's absurd. On the other hand, if you're to take maybe the other most popular position, and that is the position of the Ram, right here in the beginning of the Sufis, that chuppah is mesira, kisel or shuso, the basis especially on the Gemara Masar, ma'av, shluchei, haval. Oh, so, I mean, how can you talk about, you might ask, how could the issue even come up? The Gemara talks about masar ha'av, shluchei, haval. But it's misleading, because if the rich issue really is kisa or shuso, so when we talk about shluchei haval, we're not talking about shlichus, in the sense of shlucho, shalom, kamoso. By doing a maisa, where the act of the shliach goes is associated by the act of the shliach is associated with the shaleach, shlucha shalom kemosa, like the Gemara speaks of the beginning of the second paragraph of kedushin, the shliach does the kedushin for you. The shliach delivers the get for you. Right? When we talk about masar ha'av with shluchei ha'av, if the shluchei ha'av, not the shluchei ha'av are doing the maisa, they're doing the maisa of kenisa. The point is, if they are shluchei ha'av, then willy nilly it is Knisa Lashuso. Forget about it, nothing with Shluchos Shalom Kamos. So one perspective will completely preclude any serious discussion of Shlichos. Just, of course, you're going to be Yachid with the Shliach, that's going to be issues. Of course, that's obscene. And since it's obscene, therefore, it's also absurd. By the way, that's generally a rule of thumb. Right. The other perspective says, forget about shlichus. It just doesn't come up because you don't need shlichus shalom kamoso. It's simply a question of what constitutes rishus ha'abal. So that's a complication if you're talking about shlichus bin nisuin. On the other hand, maybe according to some of the other definitions, we'll have to look at them when we get there. Maybe it is possible to raise this question. But this question is tightly connected with the other question that he raises, and that is there t'nai bin Nisuin? Now, I should caution those of you who learned Ksuvis before, right? Yona is about to jump up and challenge me, no? What do you mean, is there the T'nai bin Nisuin? What the Gemara talks about T'nai bin Nisuin? The Gemara really doesn't speak about that. What the Gemara speaks about is what happens if you make a T'nai B'Kiddushin, and then you go ahead with the Nisuin for implementing the T'nai. Does that constitute a kind of an implicit mechila of the T'nai or not? That's what the Gemara talks about when it talks about T'nai B'Nisuin. When the Achronim speak about whether there is a T'nai B'Nisuin, they mean, can you make the Nisuin al T'nai? Can you impose a T'nai on the Nisuin? Can you do that or not? So the Arsamech, in that same piece, that large piece, discusses this problem, and he says, well, let's look at Ksuvis Ayin Dalet. There the Gemara has a principle. What's the Gemara's principle? Kol sheyeshno b'shlichos yeshno b'tnai, kol sheyeshno b'shlichos yeshno b'tnai. In fact, the Gemara there again is speaking about chalitza. The Gemara says that chalitza is not subject to shlichos, and therefore it shouldn't be subject to tnai. That's the Gemara's discussion. Kol sheyeshno b'shlichos yeshno b'tnai, kol sheyeshno b'shlichos yeshno b'tnai. So the Aruch Hameach says it depends whether there's a tnai that can be imposed on the suin, the same way that you can impose a tnai on the condition, depends whether or not yeshu b'shlichus, depends on the first question. Or the second question. I guess the key was the first question. Okay. But, in light of what we just said, it's not so simple. Right? Because we just pointed out that when you look at the question of shlichus b'nisuin, it's complicated by the definitional question. So now we have to ask or raise another consideration. And that consideration is, when we have this principle of kol sheyeshno b'shlichus, yeshno b'tnai, how literally are we to take that? What kind of principle is that? Is that really a technical principle? Are we ever concerned why something does or doesn't have shlichus? or are we just concerned whether it does or doesn't have shlichus? If you take it as a standing principle, a kind of exeris akasur, somehow shlichus determines or dictates as far as tonight is concerned. So we don't care why, we care whether. In other words, if for even if for technical reasons there's no shlichus, then this human, let's say, go behind a yichud. So you're not going to say shlichus, obviously. So then there's no time. And by the same token, let's say Moser Av and Shluchei Habal, let's say that is considered kind of a shlichus. So maybe it doesn't matter to us that it's not the Torah shlichus. It's just, you know, the Torah's Rishus. Then you'll say, yeah, it's not. Is that the way to look at it? Again, the Orsamech's initial analysis, anyway, is a shlichus or isn't there shlichus? That will determine for tonight. However, it's possible to be chalek. Especially if you look at that sugya, David. Did you see that sugya? I know it tells us. What does it say there? Mayor?
Just the Gemara.
What?
In the Gemara.
Oh, even the Gemara.
The Kiddushin.
The Gemara says about Kiddushin. The Gemara raises an important question. Which question? Kiddushei Biyah. The Gemara says, if you have a klal, you have the Avi, go ahead, if you have the Gemara first. So this will conclude, and then we'll finish this off on Tuesday. The Gemara has the principle, and then the Gemara asks the question, what about Kiddushei Biyah? What's the problem with Kiddushei Biyah? Again, Kiddushei Biyah obviously cannot be Aydei Shliach. Does that mean that you cannot make a Tznai Haret Mekudeshesly? Right? If you're Mekudeshes Aydei Biyah, you can't make a Tznai because it's Aydei Shliach. Go ahead.
We have the rest of the Kim Aydei Shliach, the Hassan, the Havi Tanah, Hassan Mishim, the Iskir Shavayas Badadi.
So the Gemara gives, the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, you can say Kiddushei Biyah, not subject to Tznai. So the Gemara says, Iska Shavayas Badadi. So you can interpret the Shaka Vitaria in the following way. The Halamina certainly seems to be based on the idea that this is a hard and firm equation. Kolshiyeshu b'shlichus, kolshiyeshu b'tnai, kolshiyeshu b'shlichus, kolshiyeshu b'tnai. No questions asked. No exceptions considered. And therefore, Kiddushei Biyah should not be able to be subject to Tznai. Then the Gemara answers, Iska Shavayas Lahadar. So is the Gemara saying, you know what, there's a special Zeres HaKasid, the Torah itself is aware of and precludes this exception, Iska Shavayos Lahadadi. You're right, that's Iska Shavayos Lahadadi. Or, it's Iska Shavayos Lahadadi, the Gemara's way of saying, don't read Kol She'eshem Shechaseyeshem B'tnai literally. We should understand that there has to be a conceptual link, again, between shlichus and tznai. And if the reason that there's no shlichus is for technical reasons, again, you can't have shlichus but biyah, everybody understands that. But if that's true, then it's not going to result in any of the tznai. So we have a right to ask that same question about nesuin. Maybe the maskana, when the Gemara says that iska shavayis lahadadi, what the Gemara means is kiddushei biyah, kiddushei kesef, kiddushei shtar, whatever their differences are, they're still Yitzira Sachalos. They're still the creation of the Shem Eshesish. The method, whatever differences it implies, right, does not imply discrepancy as far as that is concerned. And therefore, Yeshua of the time. So, Lu Yitzir, the suing would be comparable to Kiddushin in that sense as well. Even if technically it would be in a Mishlichos, it would be Yeshua of the time. And that would be confirmed by Tosis. Right? Tosis on the on the spot there in Ksuvis. Challenges this equation generally. Go ahead. Meaning, what's he asking? Where does this come from? From Tanai, they got Bnei Reuven. So Tosa says this thing about Bnei God of Bnei Reuven being the paradigm of all Tanayim and dictating, you know, Mishpatei Tanayim. How far do you push that? No one ever said that they're only Tanayim on Karka because that was the case. No one ever said it's only on a Wednesday afternoon because that's what it was. I don't really know. But I'm meaning, how, you know, what is significant about the case and the model and what is trivial and incidental? So how do you know? What do you mean, Koshiyeshim, the Shlichus, Koshiyeshim, the Tanayim? How do you know that what's the Svara of connecting Tanayim and Shlichus? Good. It happens there with the Yeshim of the Shlichus. But who says that that's the crucial element. Go ahead.
Shabbat Hainu Taimur. The whole of the Vaisa Kokas Yoko, Shiapa Taimur, Yeshalia, Sarahu Shiakimok, and the other which we have to know.
So what does it tell us to say? It tells us to say the link here is not a Gzeiras HaKasuv. It's very logical. Things that are subject to Shliach are less a physical than a legal transaction. If something is a physical transaction, then it should require the parties themselves. And if it's a legal transaction, then you can understand how you can delegate. Something that is subject to shlichus means that it's in your bailus. The fact that you didn't do it physically, you send him to Mekadesh Nisha for you. Why can you do that? Why isn't he Mekudeshes there? Because it's not the physical Arat Mekudeshes or the Messina or the... That's not what makes the Kedushin. It's the Das. It's the agreement that she will become his wife. He can delegate on the physical side, because what's important is not the physical, but... Right, the status of HSC, the relationship between them, and so on. It's something he has jurisdiction over. It's his life. It's his creation. That's what Tosfos is saying. And that is also what dictates whether you can impose Tznayim or not. Tznayim, in a sense, the more physical something is, the less you can say yes or no. But what do you mean, yes under these conditions? Did you do it or didn't you do it? The more it's about jurisdiction and das and so on. Now, I'm not saying you need das and chalos in the Reb Chaim sense, of course. I mean, regular kinyanim also have tznayim and shlichos. But the point is, there's a hierarchy of physical actions, you know, all the way down to, you know, Reb Chaim's chalosis. But the point is that could be the pshat in the Gemara, iska shabayis la'adadi. And that could be the issue here as well. So whether or not Nisuin is subject to Tanai, or is like Chalitza, again, it's very fascinating. Just like Beit Akiyam was a question, is it like Chalitza? The more physical and the more low-key and the more simply neutralizing the Ikuv, the more Nisuin is that, the less it's subject to Shlichus outside of the physical technical question, and the less it would be subject to Tanai as well. The more you see it as, if you want to go all the way and see it as a parallel to Kedushin, or even something in between in this case, something like a regular Kenyan, even if it's less than Kedushin, then you would say, technical obstacles aside, Yeshno the Shlichus, or at least theoretically Yeshno the Shlichus, such that Yeshno the Tanah. What we still have to investigate is, in Sakdama, is Ktana, the issues that I gave in the Rambam and Agos Maimonides Mordechai, we have to do that still. And then the status of Chuppah as a Kenyan.